This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture of PlayStation podcast. It was 40 years of playing PlayStation and 6 plus years in that games media combined. We thought we'd throw our hats into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
If you would also like to join the PlayStation conversation, you can do so every Monday morning on YouTube at 9 a.m. and iTunes and other podcast things at 8 a.m. How do you join that conversation? Simply head over to www.thepopcultures.com/questions. Give us your thoughts, questions and suggestions for the show. If the week between shows is a little bit too long, join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, and if you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon, patreon.com/popcultures. Head over there, check out the tiers. It might be something there that interests you.
And if you want to show your support for PopCulturist on your body, excuse me, head to thepopculturist.com/shop where you can buy shirts and mugs and phone cases and everything that will show the world that you love those PopCulturists.
I don't have a phone cover. I was just emphasizing phone cases.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have one.
I'm right in the middle of, like, I'm like, oh, So I'm in that tipping point. I'm like, do I upgrade my phone? It's been like 3 years since I had one. It's running kind of slow. For some reason, the touch part just stops working. You know, the touch part, the whole screen.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I have to lock it, open it up again, and it works.
Yeah, Apple do that. Those kind of things. I'd buy a beanie if we could get them.
Yeah, a beanie would be cool. I'm keen for a jumper.
A Pop-C beanie.
I'm keen for a hoodie.
But we can't get them where we are at the moment.
No, I can't get them anywhere.
I'll just have to...
Might be personalised.
Cross-stitch it myself.
Oh. Bring out the overlocker. How you been?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tired. Just been playing a lot of game. A lot of game. No plural. No plural. Just a lot of game. Monster Hunter World is out of the week.
Yeah.
48 hours.
Yeah, about 50 hours. Yeah.
About nearly 50 hours. But we'll talk about that later.
We will.
But you know, that's it. That game has just consumed me. What about you? Because normally it's like, you know, I've played this and that. Oh, that's cool. But, you know, we
I have been hit with what I would like to call super gastro.
What makes it so super?
The fact that it's gastro and my irritable bowel got really mad at it.
Right.
Yeah, so with the whole...
Did your ass hair turn yellow by any chance?
Yeah. So essentially, yeah, I've had like the gnarliest gastro for the last like week and a bit. I know, like 5 minutes in, we're already talking about buttholes. I'm really sorry.
Just a typical week.
Yeah, it's just been like a brutal week. Like I said, I was at work for 4 hours this week.
Nice. That's a good week.
That's a good week. I'm running out of sick leave, though.
Nah, it's fine. You get more as time goes on.
That's true. Yeah, that's been beating the shit out of me. So I've actually not been able to spend a lot of time playing games. Funny enough, I spend a lot of the time in the bathroom.
But you have many portable
watching YouTube. I don't want to bring it in.
You
there.
Have many portable devices.
I haven't let my son or my wife in that room.
Oh,
like that ensuite is in its quarantine zone. when we're done here today, I've actually gone in there and just fucking scrub the whole thing down.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm choosing to because it's fucked. Yeah,
that's
like, no one
gross.
No one should, like, even if it's like, because it might have been super gastro to me, but I don't want, like, as in, I've died for the last 5 days and I can't have that and I don't want it anymore, so I want it gone.
So what have you been playing?
Monster Hunter World with you a little bit, like twice.
Play
a bit of DBZ, Dragon Ball FighterZ. It's pretty good.
Was for the players.
Yeah, sadly, I haven't been able to really play a lot, as I said, being super sick. But our code did come through from Bandai Australia, so thank you very much, Bandai. So played it probably 4 hours, maybe at best. At this stage, like, because we're in no real place to give it a sort of review yet. But I'm gonna get some thoughts out, see what we can do. So one, it's stunning. As which we knew from
PAX
and EB Expo. Sorry, I'm still kind of like all fucked. So we knew from PAX the game looks stunning. I'm gonna need you to get some things out of me. I can't quite get the right words.
Mode have you been playing?
I played a little bit of the story mode, which is really kind of at least the first arc that I've been playing is like a giant tutorial, and it's really kind of Like, it looks really cool. With the art style being as awesome as it is, it does feel like an episode of the show, a little bit more polish.
Yeah.
The one thing I don't like is the dialogue. So rather than just letting the cutscenes just go, you have to press X to kind of skip. So it'll be like, Goku, X. Bulma, X. Goku, X. Like, you can't just let it play out.
It's just standard RPG for the most part. Yeah, it's annoying as fuck. Oh, come on. Because you got to push X once every 3 seconds.
Yeah, like, I said, I just want to watch the cutscenes. Because I spent so much time spamming buttons in the fight. I don't want us to do it. It's a very little nitpick. And that's fine. I just want to watch a cutscene. Mm-hmm. Because if it's trying to mirror the cartoon, do it properly.
Jesus Christ.
As in, like take that away and just play it through. That's what I want.
Okay.
But speaking of the story, though, like, it's... the way it kicks off is really meta in an awesome way. So there's this weird, like, vibe, energy, wave thing going on, right? So Goku wakes up. It's not really Goku. It's actually... you.
Sorry?
Exactly.
What do you mean, though?
Yeah, so they're talking to Goku, and like, hey, you're not Goku, are you? You're someone controlling Goku.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's super meta. The whole idea is, you know, there's someone taking over Goku's body, which is you, and then you've got to communicate with Goku internally, and you've got to kind of like meet them.
Right.
It's super weird, but it's like, as I said, it's beautifully meta in the same way. It's like, okay, cause, and they, that's how they explain why your power isn't so high when you start, and you get stronger as you fight more. Because as you fight more, you understand how to play and all that sort of stuff.
Cool,
really cool way to go around it. Downside is, as I said, the first arc being very tutorial heavy. I'm like, I actually played all the tutorials in the little hub world. I learned all the controls, and then to go to the storyline and then have to do it again. I'm like, this is dumb.
Well, I mean, you'd normally jump into the story first. Because you'd assume stories have the...
But for a fighting game, though, would you?
Yeah, well, Injustice did it as well.
Injustice did it, but true. I think Injustice is probably a better storytelling fight game than this. Mm. So that's probably a bit downfall.
Yeah, but I don't know. Dragon Ball FighterZ never struck me as being leaning on the story more the competitive.
No, it is. It is without a doubt leaning on its competitive, and it is a really, really tight fighter. Like, it's shallow enough for rookies like me to sort of get in there and try it out and not get my ass too beaten when I'm versing the AI, but I get demolished in any online match.
Yeah.
Ranked, free, whatever, I just get destroyed.
Yeah. I reckon it'll probably pick up fighting game of the year, I'd say.
Oh, without a doubt. Like, as in, like,
Soul Calibur will be out.
Soul Calibur 6, yeah, but I don't think it will have the polish that DBZ will have. So it was built by Arc System Works. Guys did like BlazBlue and stuff, and these guys, second to Capcom, they pretty much build dope fighters, period.
Cool.
Yeah, and like, you know, there's only 24 characters at this point, which is good, seeing as, you know, I was thinking of like...
That's,
you know,
a lot.
It is, these days. Mm. When you think back to like, you know, Budokai Tenkaichi 3, which had 176 playable characters.
Yeah, that's too much. That's stupid. Too much. That's stupid as hell.
So it's giving you full access to like the entire DBZ.
Yeah, but you think back universe. To like the fighters of yore, like going back to the original Mortal Kombat, there was 12 maybe?
Yeah, 12, yeah.
I think 24 is a good number. 24 is a good number. It's enough variety.
There are at least another 6 kind of things, rounding out at 30.
Yeah. Because like, how... You know, you obviously want all your main characters in there and your main villains.
Yeah, you've got that. So you've got your Goku, you've got your Vegeta, you've got your, you know, Gohan. So you've got Teen Gohan. No, Adult Gohan. Yeah. Because I forget. There's Kid Gohan and him. You've got Gotenks. You've got, like...
Trunks.
Trunks is there, of course, my man.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
He's your guy?
He was my man from the animes. Right. So he's my go-to. You've got, obviously, some key villains. You've got, like, Majin Buu. You've got Cell, Frieza... You know, Nappa, you know...
Key villains, Nappa.
Captain Ginyu. So previously in, like, the older DBZ games, you would have Captain Ginyu, and then, you know, the Ginyu Force would each have their own individual character. So instead, here, you play as Captain Ginyu, and you can bring them in to help you throughout the fight.
Right.
So in the same way, because you have your character... So when you play, rather than just playing as Goku, you play as three characters. You pick and choose. And how you pick and choose depends... changes different strengths in different ways. So when you're fighting, you can press a button and in come. So if you're playing as Gohan as an example, and then in comes Goku and he helps you, and you do like a joint Kamehameha and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So this gives him that other option to sort of bring it. Hey, and then all the Ginyu Force just come in and fuck shit up, and I'm sure fun.
Cool.
And yes, a couple of, and there's like same goes for like Android 16 is there, Android 17, so Android 18, which is the female, right?
Yes.
Yes, and then Android
16 is
16 is the green with the mohawk.
The big dude.
Yep.
Yeah.
16 is the no, 17 is the woman and 18 is the boy.
No, the other way around.
Okay.
I think. I don't remember. It's been a long time since I watched that show, man.
Yeah. So same as the 17 and 18, they're the sort of the duo pair as well.
Right.
And the whole like the whole main story of this game is there's this new new Android 21.
2021.
No, Android 21.
Yeah, they all are. There's lots, apparently.
That's excluding 21.
Cool. So you rate it? You want to play it more?
Yeah, I'd like to play it more. Obviously, you're being a fighter. I'm not going to go super deep because like it's just not my skill set. But I'm on a surface level. It's real good.
You should be able to at least finish the story.
I'm gonna do my best to at least get through the story.
Get another credits going.
Get another credits.
Well, let me have a look here. My new favorite website. How long to beat? This website has determined many games, whether I'll purchase them or not. How long to beat? If it's 20 plus hours, nah. 4? Fucking yes.
About 15 hours, I think.
Let's find out in 5, 4, 3, 2. Average is about 8 hours for the main story.
Okay. I like that.
That's doable. That's easy.
Mm.
Cool.
Yeah. And there are, and I should mention as well, credit to Bandai and Arc System, not a single microtransaction. Not one.
Sweet.
As in like in game, like you yeah. Like you have your Zenny and your Z points, or there's like some, there's two sorts of forms of currency in the game.
Yeah.
And you can use those currencies to buy, there are two characters that are available now that were pre-order bonuses, but they are available on the PSN store. That's Super Saiyan God Blue Goku and Vegeta.
Mm-hmm.
But if you didn't pre-order them or you don't buy them off the PSN, you can literally earn them in game, and there is cool. Nothing stopping you from earning them.
I went on a YouTube rabbit hole the other day with Dragon Ball Z, just like watching best ofs and stuff like that. Oh, still gets me. It's the music. I've said it before. When they're when it's all emotional and they're, you know, powering up or going to the next stage or whatever, it's the music that makes it.
I did the same.
Soft piano medleys in the background, and then it's a like the final rah, and the lights go poof, and the bad guy's like
the ultimate power. Yeah, I love it.
Where did you get this power from? I was watching it. Vegeta fighting Cell. Vegeta went Super Saiyan 2, I think, and it was like not Cell's final form. It was like the one where he had like the big lips and shit.
Yeah, and Cell's like, Vegeta never went Super Saiyan 3.
Cell's so like, yeah, go on, do it. So he does, and then Cell's like, fuck. And Vegeta just fucking stomps the floor with him. It's amazing. And, you know, there's like explosions, and like Cell's like, bah! And the dust settles, and Vegeta's like got his fist just smiling. It's like, you're fucked, mate. So many cool moments in the show.
Yeah. Yeah, I did the same thing. Because I said, my ultimate favorite moment in DBZ is the one-handed Kamehameha assisted by, you know, Goku.
Oh, when Gohan takes down Cell.
Yeah. Favorite thing in the world. Yeah. And like,
it's coming now. Now, Gohan.
Vegeta does the same thing. Vegeta comes in and goes, bing. And he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he's like, Vegeta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. And like the like that, the walk as like bringing it closer.
Yeah, while he's screaming.
Yeah, and then it kind of like, Cell literally disintegrates on a cellular level.
Yeah. Because he's Cell.
Yeah. The only downside is because I didn't know that until playing it, that the storyline was a brand new story. I didn't look into it for some reason. Okay. I just didn't. This is me being naive. This is nothing against the game. This is me being naive. I was like, fucking A. I can't wait to replay some of those big key moments in this, like with this cell shading.
Yeah.
What?
Of course it's
interesting. But it's still a super moves though. So if your team is Gohan, Teen Gohan plus Goku, that's one of your power moves.
Mm.
So you could be fighting. You could literally still do it. You could still fight Cell and press the
reenact it.
Yeah, you could reenact it in a way, which is just as cool.
Did we get a code or a disc?
A code. It's on the Popsy account, so you can play it.
Cool. Right. I'm sure you'll have more updated thoughts for us next week.
Yeah, I hope I can get some more time. And like, seeing as you,
I'll try to put.
Yeah, if you can download it as well, we can.
If I can just get off Monster Hunter,
we can fight each other. It'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, the one thing on a side note as well. I was also kind of.
One of the big key things about Dragon Ball Z is not just it's fighting in the air. And this game doesn't have the fighting in the air, whether that be good or a bad thing. Like, when I first saw it, I'm like, it's a bummer. But I like that it's grounded, but I do.
But they do combos in the air and stuff.
Yeah, you can do a lot of juggling, but it's not in the same. You know, like, once again, like the older games where you literally can just fight in the sky.
I found that's what made them not
enjoyable. But then we played it, and I'm like, oh man, that was rose tinted glasses. This controls like garbage.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah.
So I'm very glad that they locked it down.
Cool.
Now that we've done that out of the way, we head into the news of the week with a section we called Inform the Players.
1, 2, 3, 4, I don't know. Some bits amount of news this week. Number one, Red Dead Redemption 2 will be out on October 26th, Rockstar has announced, the second major delay for what might be the most anticipated game of 2018. The upcoming prequel to Rockstar's critically acclaimed Western was previously scheduled for spring 2017, then autumn 2018. In a quote from Rockstar, "We apologize to everyone disappointed by this delay. While we had hoped to have the game out sooner, we required a little extra time for polish. We sincerely thank you for your patience and hope that when you get to play the game, you will agree the wait will have been worth it. In the meantime, please check out these extra screenshots we've uploaded. We look forward to sharing a lot more information with you in the coming weeks." There's going to be one more delay.
You reckon?
I'm calling it. One more delay.
That'll put it a year from its original announcement.
Sure will.
Well, it's already a year from its so it was originally announced for October of 2017. So by having it coming out October 2018, that's a straight up year.
Yeah.
Like, granted, Grand Theft Auto, Rockstar Games have that luxury to be like, "We're going to delay it again." Everyone's like, "Yes, sir. Thanks, sir."
No. They also have the "We'll put it out whenever the fuck we want." It doesn't matter what else is launching around that time. Doesn't matter to them.
See, apart from like Call of Duty, which is always the first week of November, everyone's going to be getting the fuck out of there.
And them keeping changing the date's going to be fucking with people hardcore. Like, Red Dead's out in spring, so we'll launch here. And then they're like, "Oh, we delayed it to here." It's like, fuck. Now we have to change our date.
So October 26th falls very similar to October 27 of last year, where we had Assassin's Creed, Wolfenstein, and Mario Odyssey.
On PAX weekend.
So, if all goes well, I assume this is PAX weekend as well, which is bad for us. But, like, we won't have three games on the one day this year.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's a popular period by the looks of it.
Yeah.
But everyone's going to be just out of there. So for me, I don't mind. Delay is cool.
Yeah.
I'll play it when I play it. I'm keen as fuck to play it. Period.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm happy to wait.
I've never really been like, you know, super all over it, so it comes out when it comes out.
The only concern that I have is it really felt like GTA Online was ramping down. Like, they just had the Doomsday Heist, which was huge, right? And that seemed like to be like, I was looking at it, I'm like, this could be the last huge update before Red Dead.
Good.
Thinking that Red Dead was in the near future, right? So as in everyone would sort of, you know, tweedle down, and then Red Dead, and everyone transitions to Red Dead.
But still, it's like 6 months away. Yeah. I mean, GTA Online has had its time.
Oh.
You know, they've put out so much free content. I know everyone still plays it. I enjoyed it when I played it with you. But, you know, they've given you so much. I mean, have you given them a lot as well with all the microtransactions, but they've also put in a lot of free stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, how much of, you know, still taking care of GTA Online has helped with, you know, delaying Red Dead?
Probably not as much as you think, but yeah.
Even a little bit is not acceptable. Number two, Sony has collaborated with Facebook on a God of War text adventure titled A Call from the Wilds and is now on Facebook Messenger's app. According to Santa Monica Studios' announcement on Twitter, players will explore the Norse wilds as Atreus on his first adventure. The text adventure consists of several chapters, and if you make it to the end, you'll unlock 8 pieces of concept art. Oh. You'll make choices and type commands in order to progress through the tale.
I was like, you said unlock. I'm like, unlock.
Concept art. Concept art's awesome. Yeah, so it's basically like the old school text adventures. Do you remember like
Zork and shit?
Leisure Suit Larry. You know, there's a game, a big text adventure game. I can't remember, but like you start outside a haunted house and it's like, walk to pumpkin, pick up pumpkin, drop pumpkin, pumpkin broke, there was a key inside, pick up key, put key in door. So it's that kind of a thing. And the text you get from Kratos, from the screenshots I've seen, some of the key phrases are in quotation marks, so you can type anything. Yeah, so you reply with anything in those quotation marks, and it'll
kiss my pumpkin. You picked up the pumpkin.
Yeah, that's not what I said. But yeah, someone put I saw a screenshot. It's like, you know, you can do this, this, or this. I want to do this, and Kratos was, I don't quite understand what you're saying. Please check your spelling and try again. But it's cool, you know. It's a nice little thing to like ramp up, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I know, some people are interested. I'm not, but it was interesting. Number three, in 3 days since launch, Capcom has shipped over 5 million copies of Monster Hunter World. Capcom announced the figure, which includes digital sales. It is worth bearing in mind that shipped is slightly different to sold for physical copies, that it means units sent to retailers, not paid for by consumers, but it bodes well. Early this month, DualShock has reported that Japanese gaming industry veteran Hirokazu Hamamura predicted that Monster Hunter World would sell 10 million units worldwide long term, taking into account the PC release slated for this fall.
Yeah, when this hits PC, boom. Mm.
The title has debuted number one on the UK charts and Australia, mm-hmm. as far as I know, with the highest week one sales of any game in the series to date. No, it wasn't. I looked last night and it wasn't there, so I'll pull it up later.
I looked at it last night too. That's how I told you. I told you last night.
I did this news at 6 o'clock yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when I was looking.
We did talk about 11 o'clock.
So sure we did.
I'll find it.
Yeah. So that's good. That's real
awesome.
Good. So it's amazing when you launch a cult classic game on consoles people actually play, you'll get big sales. Shock horror.
Oh, you mean comparison?
That's
to
just
like
me being cynical. Yeah, you know what I mean? But it's reviewing really well. It's at a 91 on Metacritic, which is huge.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've seen, I go to Metacritic every now and then to look at the negative reviews from users just to see the bullshit that they come up with. And pretty much all the negative reviews, like the red reviews, are series veterans not liking that it's been quote-unquote dumbed down or whatever.
Yesterday at 6 p.m. on the dot.
I was just before that then. I did look. So yeah, they've done well. It's really good. It's given this franchise, you know, new life to a lot of new people.
Like, it's not a reboot of the franchise by any stretch, but it can be used as one.
Because from now onwards, you'd imagine the rest, you know, there's going to be Monster Hunter World 2 or, you know, whatever they're going to do in the future.
And it's going to go
gangbusters. And the install base is just going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So that's really good for them. On the opposite end of good news, so bad news. Number four, Epic Games is shutting down its free-to-play MOBA Paragon in April. I titled this music Paragon. There's all like reasons and shit, but it pretty much comes down to Fortnite's going gangbusters. We can't be fucked dealing with this game anymore.
Yeah.
To their credit, they're offering full refunds to anyone who's made any kind of purchase in the
Fortnite
game.
Money.
Yeah. You spent $60 on Paragon microtransactions. We'll put $40 into Fortnite for you.
Yeah. It's like, we're refunding you. Not with our money.
Yeah. So yeah, but I did play it briefly. You know, free to play, it looks cool. Yeah. It was fine, but you could pretty much see this coming when Fortnite kind of blew up. That, you know, it makes business sense. Why keep pushing this Paragon game if it's just kind of sitting in the middle when you've got this cash cow that is Fortnite? But yeah, sad for the people that actually play it.
There's a friend of mine at work. I don't know whether he loves Paragon or Warframe. I think he loves Warframe. That works out all right.
Warframe is doing well.
Yeah, okay, Warframe.
Game is going gangbusters. PS Plus games for February 2018 have been announced. For PS4, you can get Knack and Rhyme.
Hey, Alex. Don't worry, don't fell off.
For PS3...
Alex is in the corner of the room and he foam just fell off the door.
PS3, you can get Spelunker HD and Mugen Soul Z. And for Vita, you can get Exile's End and Grand Kingdom. Grand Kingdom also available on PS4.
I don't get the love for Knack. I know it's sarcastic at this point, but it's kind of sarcastic love.
But
it's one of those things because I see it everywhere. Because you know,
with the communities that you're in, the
communities that I'm a part of. Everyone's like Knack. I'm like, I'm
that's
bored.
Enough.
Calm down.
Rhyme seems pretty good. I think you played it.
Yeah, we did a let's play of it like way back.
Yeah,
It's all right.
I mean, you can't get, obviously, it's very simple. It's very you can't simple get the top-notch games every month. It's just not feasible, yeah? You know, not a great month, but not bad. If you got kids, they'll probably enjoy Knack in some fashion if they're under 7.
Yeah.
I always get lost what number I'm up to. Update on EA and their Battlefront 2 microtransactions. They are coming back very, very soon, Andrew Wilson has emphasized. And he also emphasized in a quote from him, "Going forward, we believe that live services that include optional digital monetizations, when done right, provide a very important element of choice that can extend and enhance the experience for our gamers. We're committed to continually working with our players to deliver the right experience in each of our games and live services." So he's basically doubling down. Every single game we launch from now on will have live services.
You know the biggest way to manipulate people? Provide them the illusion of choice.
Yeah. It's choice. I promise. You don't need to buy this stuff, but we really want you to. Anthem's just not going to go well. It's not going
to
go well.
To me, really... Alex, don't worry about it. We'll sort out later. It's all good, man. Anthem's not... The fate of Anthem is concerning. I'm not confident in the slightest, really.
So yeah, just EA doing EA things and doubling down on the EA things.
To their point, they kept their word. They were like, microtransactions are coming back to Battlefront 2 at some point.
The problem is they took them out of the game, but the game was balanced around having them. So the game just became a huge fucking grind fest because that's how it is without the microtransactions in it. So, they took them out, but they didn't adjust anything considering the lack of them.
But remember, they only made a measly 7 million copies or 9 million copies.
Yeah. Shame. Damn shame. But I'm pretty much, at this point, just any EA title, it's just an instant pass.
Yeah.
For me.
I agree.
Because other than Anthem, Biomutant looks kind of cool, but not cool enough.
Yeah. So. I'm pretty burnt out at this point, when it comes to EA shit. Like, even this news, which is the worst thing about... It's the worst sense.
Becoming apathetic is not good.
Exactly. Becoming apathetic about issues is not good, man. Because that's how they go under the radar and then become norm.
Now, Jim Sterling puts it well enough, is that, he'll put up a video about, the microtransactions or the loot boxes and all that. All the comments are, this is so 2 months ago, forget about it, move on, talk about something else. And it's like, well, no, that's exactly what they want you to do. They want you to forget. They want so they can just keep doing their shady shit under the radar. So.
Yeah.
But I do get your point, whenever I do see, because he puts up a lot of videos, and he's one of my favorite YouTubers.
Oh, I watch every video he makes.
And yeah, every time I see, latest loot box controversy with blah, I'm like, ugh. But I'll watch it anyway.
No, the difference for me is me going, I don't want to hear about it, I'm just not going to buy EA games. As in, I'm burnt out from EA.
Yeah, yeah.
So there will be very unlikely that I'll purchase an EA game anytime soon.
Yeah, same. Talking about EA, there are rumors floating about that Microsoft is looking to acquire them.
Microsoft are looking to acquire anyone at this point.
They are, and EA apparently
Valve's on there as well.
Quote unquote, insider sources say that they are in talks with EA.
Yes, that's very unlikely.
Now Microsoft's put up EA are worth something like $70 billion, but Microsoft's, even in the state they're in, are still worth like $500 billion.
Yeah, Microsoft. Not Xbox.
Microsoft.
It makes sense when Microsoft would be considered, big business always look at acquiring other businesses. It's just how it works, right? Mm-hmm. I highly doubt that EA would say yes to this because they would do insanely better. Even in the current, shitstorm they've put themselves in,
you never know. EA's stocks could continue to drop to the point they're like, "We don't have a choice."
Drastically increased with the announcement of loot boxes coming back. Drastically increased.
I fucking hate this world. Just
so just, the stocks actually is like, come up to what you think. They did better off by announcing loot boxes.
Yeah, because all the investors are like, "Fuck yeah, get us some more money." Could you just imagine a world, though, where Microsoft do buy EA and all the EA games are exclusive to Microsoft consoles? That is a big pull for Microsoft because the casual consumer does care.
Yeah, it's a big pull, but it's like... It's kind of...
If you can only play FIFA and all that on an Xbox, their sales are going to fucking skyrocket.
Yeah, but the backlash would be insane.
And then people would forget about it.
Backlash
to who, though?
It's like cutting off your arm just for cause.
Yeah, but no, backlash to who? Like...
It'd be
shit for consumers, but it's just if it ever happened, it would be because it's the best business decision to make.
Yeah, that's another thing that I always get really mad at, and people are like, it's anti-consumer. You have no idea what that means. In no way am I saying this is that anti-consumer, because it's a business decision, business is business. But I don't think it's good business for EA to accept that offer. If it
not
was
in
a
the
real
current
offer.
State, no. But you know, you never know. You never know what EA will look like in a couple
EA
of years.
Even if EA were to plummet, it would. Like I said, Electronic Arts has been a name in games for as long as I can remember.
So have a lot of the studios that they've shut down.
Yeah, so you know why? Because yeah, they've acquired and shut them down. That's different. But they're smaller. Like EA is like Electronic Arts is a juggernaut. And Microsoft looking at buying EA and Valve. Valve makes a bit more sense because you know they're trying to move to that like a
shared platform,
big shared platform thing with the with the PCs. But
every juggernaut can fall.
A third party like that is very unlikely.
Every juggernaut can fall.
Very unlikely,
and it will happen in our lifetime. And I will dance on its fucking grave. Last bit of news for the week. This April, Kaz Hirai will step down as Sony CEO in a management transition he proposed to the Sony nominating committee. His successor will be company executive Kenichiro Yoshida. The management shuffle takes effect on April 1st when the Japanese financial year begins. I've got a few more notes here. But yeah, so we lose Andrew House. Now we lose Kaz Hirai. Kaz Hirai is essentially becoming CEO. What's he stepping to? He's stepping to something else.
Yeah, Kaz is sort of being nicely promoted.
He's becoming a chairman, which is like a fancy title.
Yeah,
he's still around. He's still, you know, your opinion still matters, but you're not making the big decisions. Just a few notes on Yoshida. He seems to know his shit. He's been around for 30 years.
What, Shuhei?
No. Kenichiro, the guy taking over. Kenichiro Yoshida, the guy taking over for Kaz. Seems to know his shit. Been in part of Sony for 30 years. Kaz brought him into his team in 2013, and together they've helped turn the PlayStation brand around to what it is today. Yoshida has a lot of business sense. You know, he was looking at the TVs and the smartphones, and he was, you know, whipping people back and forth because, you know, he criticized Sony's R&D for not keeping up with the times in terms of technology. So he's quite whipped that back into shape. Apparently he's a real nice guy. So cool. But you know, we do lose that very friendly face that we've all come to know and love.
Yeah, no, we know CEO Kaz Hirai from Twitter. It's the fake account that we love.
The fake account was doing it as well, actually. He's like, you know, I am stepping down. I've had enough. If you go through the fake Kaz's Twitter, as soon as real Kaz announced his retirement, it's just gold. It's just comedy gold on that Twitter account.
What's fantastic, though, was 7 years ago, like, that account got created. And now, yeah, like, I think the Twitter account was like, 7 years ago, I created the account. I'm quitting. Real one's quitting.
That's it. The end of an era. It really is the end of an era. That's it for the news. As we transition into the segment we call Chat to the Players about Monster Hunter World.
Gross.
This game is sick, dude.
Yeah, this is all you, man, because I've put like 5 hours in at this point.
Yeah, so when we did our first impressions last week, I'd played for about 5 hours. And now, I'm pretty much at 50 a week later. Grinding has never been so fun. I mean, you know, everyone's like, no, there's no loot boxes in the game. There is. They're monsters, and you open them with a big fucking sword. That's how you get your loot boxes. Look,
random junk.
As we said before, when we talked about the sales, it's really done something special for the franchise as a whole. Because Monster Hunter has been around as a franchise for nearly two decades now, and it's always been that kind of cult classic. You know, there's a very big subsection of people that enjoy it, but
that subsection is still niche at the same time, but the
reach wasn't there. And now it is, obviously, with the sales and everything, and looking through all the Reddit posts and everything like that. You know, this has gone gangbusters. It's you could almost class it as a new IP in a way, as far as, you know, current gen owners are,
Xbox and
PlayStation.
It's a soft reboot, man.
Soft reboot. The game is still really confusing. I mean, I'm going to talk about what I don't like at first. The tutorials are hot trash. They don't explain things very well at all, how you do things, why you're doing them. So I have Googled a lot and watched a few YouTube videos of like, why is this happening or why isn't this working for me? It's like, oh, well, you got to do this and this. Well, the tutorial doesn't even mention that. The tutorials are rubbish, okay? But on the flip side, anything you think you should be able to do, you normally can. You just need to figure out how you're supposed to do it. Little things like You know how you hold L1 and your radial menu comes up for your quick select items? You can customize it. So I've done it.
I completely forgot about that radial menu.
I've customized it 8 times because it keeps resetting. Because apparently it saves to your item loadout. So every time you change an item loadout, it goes back to the default radial menu. So you meant to like change your radial menu, then save your item loadout. So it's, you know what I mean? Doesn't it say that anywhere? 8 times. It's fucking shit me. Connectivity is a bit shit. Because I've only played online, pretty much. I just join an online session. I don't normally do anything with anyone, but I do sometimes. But more often than not, I'll be playing for about an hour, and it's like, you know, you have lost connection to the online service. But apparently that's everyone. Xbox is having trouble. You know, so it's a bit average in the connectivity side of things, but other than that...
So I've not had a problem. So like, but I don't join. I create a new session. I create a private one.
So you're pretty much playing on your own.
Everyone leaves me alone.
Yeah. But other than that, I can't really fault it. I mean... You know, you got to go into the game knowing, you know, it is a quote-unquote grindy game. You can finish the story without really needing to grind too much, but the grind comes after the story in the end game.
The end game apparently is...
Yeah, where you need to farm, you know, certain item sets to have certain resistances to fight this one particular monster, or you need to mix and match pieces to get the best bonus to fight the other monster. But that's the nature of the game. That's what the game has always been. But the story is okay. It's acceptable. Apparently, it's more of a story than other Monster Hunter titles have had. You know, they put in a bit of effort. I'm not really feeling it, but you play through it to unlock the new areas, to see more monsters and all that kind of stuff. And that's pretty much what it is. Go take a story mission, go to the next area, get introduced to one of the new monsters in the area, do 2 quests in that area, go to the next area. And that's pretty much the story as a whole. It's something about the big titan monster that you gotta catch it. I don't fucking know. I don't care. Zora Magdaros. But I spend nearly all my time I'm happy to just go expedition mode, and I'll spend hours just running around and just killing shit.
We did that last night. We did an expedition where we just went fishing.
We had a good farming session last night.
Yeah, we just went fishing.
Yeah.
And then we did hey, the T-Rex is here. You want to fight T-Rex? All right.
No,
I got plummeted. Yeah.
In our ancient forest expedition, we killed the T-Rex. We killed Puke.
Yeah.
We killed Kulak, the raptor bird with the rock.
And that blue one?
Toby Gadachi, we killed him as well. We had a good expedition.
And then Big F off Dragon came in, picked up T-Rex, threw T-Rex.
Okay. Yeah, so same way that the environments are amazing.
Yeah.
They are stunning. It's not an open world game, it's more of a sandbox.
Yeah. Open world. It's like, hey, there's the world itself is quite huge, but there's very clear little subsections.
Yeah, but they never claimed it to be open world either. Yeah. But essentially, you've got up to 5 areas on the map. The map is huge in each area, and you can just go in there and dick about for a while. And they're very big, they're multi-layered, there's undergrounds, there's treetops, there's caves, so it's not just like a... You get your biggest thing with, you know, these big worlds is that it's a flat plane and there's just fucking nothing there, like Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that game very much. Mm. Whereas this isn't. It's very densely packed.
That's the benefit of like locked in space. Like, the map is X big.
Yep, doesn't have to render any further than that. And the environments are just stunning. They look great. I've only ever once had a FPS, noticeable FPS drop, which was when I was playing with you.
It was more of a network thing then.
Yeah, it might have been a network thing.
I'd never had it until.
Yeah, me either. It was raining pretty heavily, and the FPS dropped a little bit. But other than that, performance has been fantastic.
You're playing on a slim PS4?
Playing on slim PS4.
Playing on a Pro?
Mm-hmm.
With frame rate performance mode selected.
Ooh, la-di-da. Mm. What the game does well is, you know, you'll go to a certain point and then you'll find, like, this is the next big monster you have to fight, and you think, fuck, how am I going to do? And you see it, and it's like, I need to go prepare, and you see it, and you think, fuck, how am I going to kill this fucking thing? Like, it's big or it's quick or whatever. So you do. You end up, you beat it, and it's like, oh, I beat it. And then a couple hours later, you can kill that monster with your eyes closed. Like, it's got a very good sense of progression in the way that the monsters do get periodically more difficult as the game goes on, but you get better as a player. The monsters I'm killing now, if 30 hours ago, even in the same gear, I'd have died that quick because I've gotten better as a player. I understand more. You can read their tells a lot better. And the monsters act very... What's the word? Real?
Mm.
As in, you know how in a lot of games you're fighting a boss or a creature or whatever, and they just...
It's the same three sequences.
Yeah, yeah, same three sequences, or they'll just, like, stand there for a bit, and you don't know why. It's like, what are you doing? You're just standing there. It's like the AI is trying to figure out what it's supposed to do next. Whereas here, the monsters, they don't stop. Well, they do, but...
Yeah, fuck off.
They can tire themselves out, so they, when they're just standing there, if you see them, they're drooling, they're tired, so they're taking a breather, so that's your chance to go and just, you know, give it a good go. But the monsters, they're very just well scripted. They're always doing something. That some of them are really unpredictable in what they do, makes the fights feel a lot more organic and dynamic, because you can't stop paying attention, because you will die, and you will die very quickly.
Yeah, I was trying to check my menu, and the T-Rex fell on me.
Yeah, I remember that. That was awesome. Yeah. But then in terms of the environment, there's a lot of different environmental things you can do.
Yeah.
A lot of environment traps you can do. You can have them, lead them into, like, pitfall traps. You can lead them somewhere under hanging rocks and use your slingshot to break the rocks, and it crushes them, and they fall over. And I don't know if you've seen it yet, the wedge beetles. You don't see them unless you're looking for them. They're kind of high up, and they're like glowing orange beetles. Mm. You can latch onto them and you swing. So a lot of the parts of the map where you're like, fuck, this is a bit of a walk, if you look up, you can normally go just swing through the fucking treetops. Game doesn't tell you any of this. It's just something that just you kind of figure out, yeah? But there's just a lot of depth. A whole lot of depth. Like, I'm playing for 50 hours. I haven't finished the story yet, just because I'm just having fun, but I'm still unlocking new things to do and new ways. Like, now I can meld items together, and now I can send other people's palicos that I've met on expeditions to go find me
Rufus
items.
J. Pants helped you out.
Yeah, Rufus J. Pants helped me out really well. He did good.
Yeah, nice.
So, but you're always working towards something, and the rewards are spaced out just well enough that you feel like you're being rewarded for your time. I've yet to hit a brick wall with the monster. I've been on Reddit, and a lot of people are like, you know, I can't beat this monster, I'm stuck, I can't progress any further because I can't beat him. I haven't hit that point yet, but apparently once you beat the story and you kind of go into high ranking mode, that's when shit gets real. That's when shit gets real. Now, you haven't played as much as me, so your experiences aren't quite as broad as mine, but you know what, you know, for the what, 8 hours you might have played?
Yeah, about 8 hours.
Because looking at Monster Hunter from the outside, I think this is not a Ryan type of game.
It is, it isn't. Mm. Yeah. Like, there are moments where I really enjoy it, but at the same time, because I'm not really good at the slow planning kind of, like, because I forgot there's a stamina bar. You know what I mean? And I get demolished because my guy can't run anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's those little things, like, which now that I'm aware of, I'm getting better at. It's like, I do like the learning of this game, as you mentioned. Like, it feels like you actively progress. Like, once I finally found the weapon that works best for me,
the charge axe.
It's the switch axe.
Switch axe. Yeah.
So it's, you know, the sword or a big axe. It has like a nice elemental charge that just sounds
so meaty,
crisp,
so crispy.
Yes, I get a lot of fun with that. Now I'm actually sort of knowing what I'm doing. I know how to dodge and, you know, do it kind of right. But yeah, I still get stumped pretty quickly. Like, when we take on like Puke the first time, and like its dirty ass just blows me out and just ruins me.
Yeah. See, with Puke, you know to watch out for the poison when his tail swells up.
Yes.
That's when he's ready. And when his big tongue is out.
Yes.
That's when he's in poison mode.
Bounce. I know that now.
Huh?
I know that now.
Yeah, now you do. But that's it. The, you know, if you die to a monster the first time you fight it, a lot of the time you're supposed to, because you don't know what element they're using. You don't know what their tells are. You don't know what body parts you can hack off. So, you know, cut your losses, die, but then you go back to the research center and he's like, okay, this monster's weak to this element, and you can hack off the wing, the tail, and you can break its face. Cool.
That's cool. Like, that part I like a lot.
Because there is a research center in town, and as you're collecting all the footprints and the mucus and tracking the monster, when you go back to town, you give all that information to the researcher, and you can go in, select your hunter's manual, go to that monster, and you'll have all the information there. It's weak to this, it's weak to that, watch out for this, watch out for that, you can break this, you can break that. So the second time or the third time you go to fight the monster, you're prepared, because you know what to look out for and what you need to do.
Without referring to the game itself, I do feel this game is in the same way as many other games, where you are never beaten unfairly.
Mm-hmm.
it's all you've messed up somewhere. Yeah. And then you can come back and do it right and you win.
Yeah, you've misread a tell or yeah. you let yourself get chain attacked. You know, you didn't dodge, you didn't block, whatever. Yeah, it does seem very, very fair.
Yeah, which I like. I like the fairness to it because I'm yet to... When I have been beaten by creatures or bosses, I'm like, I'm never like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's like normal reactions. Like, I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
Like in examples, like, you know, playing Last of Us, and then I'm like seeing a clicker. I'm like, oh god, fuck damn! Like, where'd that clicker come from? That's yeah. bullshit.
Yeah, just like ran out from around the corner. You had no
yeah, it's like, out of the ground, and it gets yeah. you. It's like, where?
Oh, there are monsters that do that.
In, yeah, in this. Where? but you know what I mean? Like later on, there's like it's in Monster Hunter. There's everything that you do. Sort of, you're like, okay, cool. I know where I went wrong. I know mm-hmm. where to go, and you're like. Yeah. You do feel better learning as a player. Yeah.
And the monsters themselves, how they interact with each other is very cool as well.
Oh my god, I wandered in. Like, I was playing in the Ancient Forest because I've only just unlocked the second area and I've dicked around a little bit in there, but I've keep going back to the forest. Yeah, I saw a moment where Anjanoth, the giant...
fight chicken T-Rex.
So chicken T-Rex was fighting Fat Lizard, who was also fighting Poison Bird. Yeah. Like, they just went... all in on each other.
Yeah. Well, as we were seeing last time, we were hunting Anjanoth, and all of a sudden, Rathalos comes down, the big fire drake in the ancient forest, and literally picks up Anjanoth and just chucks him to the ground and then bails. And, you know, all that happens even if, like, it's scripted if they're in the same area to each other. It happens even if you're not there. You could come around the corner, and off in the distance you already see them fighting each other.
You see the map on the map.
You can see on the map, you can see they're there together, or you can just visually see them in the distance and they're already going at it.
Yeah.
And it gives you that impression that the world is still ticking on even if you're not there. Like, it's a very alive world.
It does feel like an alive world, but there are moments where you can sort of not see through the gaps, but you know it's not. Like, as in, like, when you go somewhere, you know that the giant fat lizard will always be there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. They,
and you know it spawns, yeah. But
you,
it still gives.
But playing the game enough, you learn each monster's pattern. Like, I was when we were hunting Puke, I'm like, oh, he normally hangs around. No, Toby Kadachi, I'm like, oh, he normally hangs around at Area 7. Mm. Went to Area 7, and surely enough, there he was. Because I've learnt, if he's in the map, he kind of patrols this sort of area. I remember fighting a Baroth. The one I fought with you last night, the first one you have to fight in the Act 2 story, that's like a rock T-Rex. There's an area there, looks like quicksand, and if you can slam him to the ground hard enough on the quicksand, there's actually a huge cave system underneath you, and you both get sucked through the quicksand into the cave, and the cave happens to be Diablos's lair, which is one of the hardest monsters in the game. Mm. So when I was doing it, I smashed, and the Diablos can break out of the quicksand if you're too loud and he's under there. So I smashed him down and the quicksand's like, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And then Diablos goes out of the quicksand, smashes me and Baroth up into the air, and I'm just like, what is happening? Just so many moments of just like, Jesus Christ, did that actually happen?
Mm.
Baroth gets a rough time in the second area because there's also a Jura Tados, like a kind of like a serpent with flippers, and he gets fucked up by that as well. He'll get like wrapped around and constricted, and yeah.
He's like, I'm the badass man here. Like, when you're first in there, he's like, I'm badass.
What I'm getting is the world does feel pretty, very alive most of the time. The systems are incredibly deep. Intimidatingly deep. There is just so much customization you can do that it is quite hard to wrap your head around. You know, you got your Palico gear, your gear, you got your elemental resistances, you got your, you know, weapon attack stats and debuffs, mixing armor to have different perks, melding items together, researching items, cultivating your own items in your little farm, and from what I understand, there's more coming. There's charms later, and then there's the ability to augment your gear. Like, there is so much depth.
I like making pretty gear.
Yeah, I like. They're called fashion hunters on Reddit.
No, because like, I'm still early days yet. Like, yeah. I don't know all the. I have not been exposed to all the different elemental things and how they work and stuff. So I'm just like, I like that one because it makes my
Look that's cool. What I did. So I tell you, I like this set. You know, this Puke set looks pretty sweet. I'm going to farm Puke for a while and just build everything. It looks cool. But. If anything, you know, the biggest credit to Monster Hunter is that, this might sound corny, but I feel respected as a gamer again, in the way that there's no bullshit. There's no, all the controversies in the AAA industry aren't present. Here's a game with hundreds of hours of gameplay in its fullest. here it is right now, pay the price, and that's what you get. And I've gotten more than my money's worth so far, and I'm not even close
to...
I didn't even pay for it. Yeah, well, I didn't even get my money's worth.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Capcom. And
thanks, Capcom. But I'm actually... It was my birthday the other day. I got an EB Games gift card from Mum. I want to go buy it because I want the actual cover. I've pre-ordered all the...
We can swap.
I bought it.
Promo disc back. You can have the...
EB Games are getting Monster Hunter Pop vinyls, and I've already paid for them online. They're not out yet, but I've pre-ordered them, and they look awesome, and I can't wait to get them. Like, I tried Monster Hunter a few years ago on the 3DS. There was, like, a free demo on the store. I'm like, I'll give this a go. Fucking hated it. I just didn't understand shit. And this has been, like, so eye-opening. You know, this is what people have been seeing for 20 years. This is what people have been enjoying, and now I can be a part of it. And, you know, made a squad with you last night. So if me or you ever play a game, we just launch a squad session. Other person joins a squad session. No, like, dicking about inviting in the PlayStation menu, inviting all that. Yeah. It's just we happen to go...
Pop culture squad. Logo is a picture of a purple poo.
Purple poo with a pink heart around?
No, it's purple star. Like, oh, that's right. The Slipknot symbol.
Yeah. But yeah, and a lot of people Reddit share that sentiment that it's just a game. Like we used to buy it. It's a video game. You pay your money, you get the game, you get the whole game as it is, and that's the end of story. And that is fucking fantastic. I think the gaming industry needed this little pick me up, I think. You know, just a big game with no shit, and we got it, and it's awesome. And it's really strange to get game of the year before the end of the first month is up.
But it's very interesting in the same thing, because you said this last year with Persona, same time of the year. You're like,
Persona was April, but
Same time of the year.
I got pins and needles on my foot.
The same time of the year, you're like, I've already got my game of the year. I'm ready.
Doesn't matter what else I play this year. I know there's Red Dead. I know there's God of War. I know there's probably Spider-Man. I know there's Detroit, but I just can't see me playing them as much as I'm enjoying this at the moment. It's exactly my kind of game, and my favourite thing to do the last few nights is when I'm just in expeditions and doing my farming or whatever, just chuck a podcast on and just play while listening to a podcast. And that's my favourite thing.
That's what I was doing last night before you jumped in. I was listening to Spotify.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, play music or whatever. Because once you're farming,
I was beating up people to cranberries. Yeah.
once you're farming, you kind of know the area. You don't really need to hear everything. I'll just chuck a podcast on and I'll play for hours and just kind of get lost in it, and it's awesome. Big fan. It's more than likely the early game of the year this year. By the end of the year, I'm gonna have 300 plus hours.
You reckon?
I'm at 50 a week later. And for February, there's nothing I want except Metal Gear Survive, maybe.
Ooh, no, oh yeah, Metal Gear Survive.
Possibly. Yeah. I don't know if I want to buy it. That's the thing.
We've spoken to QBS.
And then in March, they all come out at the end of March. You know, Far Cry and then God of War's a month after that. So I've got pretty much another 2 months of just, you know, nothing.
Now that we're trying right now, side note, with popcorn spoilers, we're looking at doing the Oscar movies and whatnot, and I'm like, okay, well, how can we juggle watching these movies? Dylan not having to play any games, he can just focus on the movies and it works really well. Whereas we're like, oh, we got to juggle with both of these somehow. And February's kind of dead, so like, it's nice that I can sort of still just dick around and then still have time for those movies and whatnot. And
yeah, you know, we're still kind of at the point where we can kind of play whatever we want for a while.
It's kind of not entirely work yet.
Not yet. From March, end of March onwards, when that's when it will kind of, because then E3's God of War, and then it's May, which may or may not have another Sony first party game in it, we don't know, and then it's E3 and then gangbusters
cycle from then on.
Yeah, Monster Hunter World, it is difficult, but it is rewarding. I highly encourage you to check it out.
That's Eric. Because
Capcom deserve all the sales. Apparently Capcom just... This is just what I'm reading on Reddit and stuff. In terms of development, Capcom just said, just make it. And we'll just make it how you want to make it. And we're not going to fiddle. We're not going to muck around, because it's very important that, you know, this is the first time it's been on current gen consoles. We don't want to fuck it up. Just make it and make it good. And they did. So, Jesus. Massive props. Amazing. That's it.
Yeah.
So that's it for Monster Hunter World.
Yeah. So that's our review. Let us know what you thought of Monster Hunter World. Drop it in the comments below and all that sort of garbage.
I know I rambled a little bit, but
no, it was perfect. There's a lot of passion in there.
A lot to say.
So, as that game is already out, let's look at what games are coming out this week with the drop in a section that we call Coming to the Players.
New releases for the week of February 6, 2018. Aegis Defenders, PS4 Digital. Bleed 2, PS4 Digital. Dandara, PS4 Digital. Dragon Sinker, PS4, PS Vita Digital. Heroine Anthem Zero, Episode 1, PS4
That's
Digital.
Heroine as in the female hero,
yeah.
So you know.
Yeah. Not some dude on crack singing the anthem by Good Charlotte. Marooners, PS4 Digital. Mercury Kings Reloaded Edition, PS4, PS Vita Digital.
That's Mercenary, dude.
What'd I say?
Mercury. Yeah, Mercenary.
No one cares. The Seven Deadly Sins, Knights of Britannia, PS4 Digital and Retail.
Shit.
Shadow of the Colossus,
oh, PS4 yeah.
Digital and Retail.
Review can be
you
found.
You played, you streamed, you reviewed, you enjoyed.
Yeah, review can be found here. Pop Culturist.
And Under Night in Birth EXE, late brackets ST, PS4, PS Vita, PS Vita, Digital, Retail.
The hell.
We also didn't mention the top selling games.
Oh! What about now? Wow, it's going really hard. Top selling games for week ending 28th January 2018, site number 10, WWE 2K18, number 9. Australian Open Tennis. Number 8, Assassin's Creed Origins. Number 7, The Inpatient. Fuck yeah. Number 6, GT Sport. Number 5, NBA 2K18. Number 4, Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy. Number 3, Call of Duty World War 2. Number 2, Dragon Ball FighterZ. And number 1, as we mentioned, Monster Hunter World.
No GTA 5.
Oh shit! Damn. Yeah, there's no GTA 5.
Wow.
You got knocked out by the Impatient GTA 5. Suck it. All it does is really lay my theory that, like, Australia sells about 100 games a week.
Except for Monster Hunter and Dragon Ball are 1 and 2 by a large margin.
Oh, by
compared
a
to COD at number 3. Assassin's Creed dropped really hard because it was number 2 or 3 last
like
week. Or
15
week
copies were sold this week.
Yeah. But yeah, Monster Hunter and Dragon Balls.
I want to reach out to the IGA and then confirm, like, how many games actually get sold every week in Australia.
10.
Like, in order for something to
they've
become,
all sold one copy each.
Yeah, in order for something to come 8th in the top 10, how many copies does it have to sell?
If you enjoy that PlayStation conversation, you can join in many more every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and other podcast services. How to join that conversation? Simply head over to www.thepopculturist.com/questions. Give us your thoughts, questions, suggestions for the show. For week between shows is a little bit too long. Please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, and if you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
And if you want to show your support for Pop Culturist on your buddy, head over to popculturist.com/shop where you can buy shirts and cups and mugs and pictures and bags and laptop cases and everything that we can pass our logo on. It's certainly there with new designs coming in very soon. We're currently working with James Perry and myself. We're just throwing some ideas together. Get some cool new merch out there.
Except for hats, apparently.
Except for hats, because they don't do hats, which is really annoying. But of course... Anyways, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was For the Players.